Hello, Rosebuds. Welcome back. I know I recently released an episode, but I have some free time today, and things are about to get really busy in my life, so I'm releasing an episode again today. Yay! Okay, so today's episode is going to be about Kelly Ann Bates. I'm going to give a trigger warning. She dies from abuse, so if you're sensitive to that, if you have trauma, PTSD from that, I totally get it. This just might not be the episode for you. So she gets beaten to death by her boyfriend, who is also three times her age. So grab your weed, grab your wine, and let's dive in to this true crime. Hey guys, welcome back for another episode of Weed, Wine, and True Crime. I hope everybody is doing well. I hope you're having a great day. I'm having like a mediocre day, just a blah day. The weather's kind of blah. So I hope you guys out there though are having a much better day than me. And I'm excited to get into this case. So before we do that, as we know, we have to do the strain of the day, per usual. Today, I'm smoking Purple Punch Bud, like flower. It's delicious. It tastes like Hawaiian Punch. It gets me very high. It has a very fruity smell to it, kind of like Fruity Pebbles. If you've ever smoked that strain, it's really good. I am still smoking Pink Runt's concentrate, which is also great. I give the Purple Punch an 8.5 out of 10 leaves. And I give the concentrate, once again, 7 out of 10 leaves. They're both delicious. They both get me stoned. I will also be partaking in a vapor cartridge tonight of concentrate, of sauce. I'm not sure what the name is, actually. It doesn't have an interesting name, though, like a good strain name. I think it's just letters and numbers, but it's very good. I enjoy it. So, and as we discussed last episode, sorry to all my Pinot lovers, but I'm now drinking rosé, Whispering Angel rosé. It's delicious. I promise I don't get paid to promote them. Just love it that much. All right, so now that we're all done with talking about the strain of the day, let's get into the murder of Kelly Ann Bates. So Kelly Ann Bates is English, like lives in England, Manchester, England, and she was only 17 when she passed away. She was tortured by him for 4 weeks before she actually passed away. And we will get into the details of this. It is very disturbing. I am going to warn you of that. I'm getting into the details because I think it shows the brutality that this poor woman went through. And abuse is terrible, but it needs to come to light. So let's get into the background of her abuser. His name is James Smith, and he is an unemployed divorcee, and he lives in Groton, which is in Manchester. He's well-groomed and a non-smoker. People say that he dresses well, he always looks nice, he's very smart. So, you know, like, guys that post thirst traps on TikTok is what this reminds me of, which I hate them. Like, the pointless videos where, you know, this guy just thinks he's so hot. I hate them so much. Okay, sorry. Went off on a little tangy-mangy tangent there. So his marriage ended in 1980. He was married for 10 years, and it ends because he's an abuser. So his next relationship is with 20-year-old Tina Watson, who he's much older than, obviously. And he's with her for only 2 years. She says that, quote, he used me as a punching bag and would even beat her while she was pregnant with his own child. To quote her, she said, at first it was now and again, just a little tap. But in the end, it was every day. He would smack me in the face or hit me over the head with an ashtray. He would kick me in the legs or between the legs. I want to kick this dude between the legs like 95 times. Frickin' gross. So James Dickbag Smith, that will be his nickname because I don't even need to be creative. He's just a dickbag and deserves to be called one as much as possible. Okay. So she actually escapes from the relationship and she's lucky to come away with her life. He tried to drown her while she was taking a bath. Smith then meets a 15-year-old. Yeah, gross. I know. He just keeps getting older and the women keep getting younger. It's freaking disgusting. So he meets a 15-year-old named Wendy Motorshead, and he abuses her too. And he tries to drown her too. But in 1993, while Kelly Ann Bates is babysitting, Dickbag Smith meets her when she is 14 years old. Disgusting. So he starts grooming her at 14 years old. You cannot consent to having a relationship with an adult when you're 14. He's almost three times her age. It's really gross. Like, predators are disgusting. And they pick on people they know they can manipulate. And it's sad. So, Kelly takes Dickbag Smith to go meet her parents. So she brings them home when she's 16 and Dickbag Smith is 32 and says, hey, this is my boyfriend. We've been dating for 2 years. This is really special and I love him. And of course, like any parents with a 16-year-old who's dating a 32-year-old, they're shocked. They do not support it. They think it's disgusting. They think Dickbag Smith is disgusting. And the parents notice that he appears to be much older. He seems older than 32, and something seems off about him. So she explains they met when she was babysitting, when she was 14 years old, and had been keeping this relationship a secret because she knew her parents wouldn't approve and she loved him. So then it comes out that Dickbag Smith is actually 49 years old. So an almost 50-year-old man dating your 16-year-old daughter. Just imagine that. I would want to kill him immediately. And her mom vividly remembers wanting to stab him as he turned away in the back with a bread knife because they clearly knew he was a predator. Like, that is freaking disgusting. What? At 50 years old, or your late 40s, what do you have in common with a 14-year-old girl? Nothing. You have nothing in common. Stay away from them. Let them be children, you sicko. So, yes, obviously her mom wants to stab him. Whose mom wouldn't? My mom is Italian, and she would know how to hide the body because I get my love of true crime from her, so she would have been done. She wouldn't have thought about stabbing him with a butter knife. She probably would have done it. I'm kidding. My mom is not violent like that. But her and my dad definitely would have freaked out and done everything in their power to stop it. So they try. But as with all teenage girls, she thinks she knows everything. And continues to see him, and on November 30th, 1995, Kelly decides to move out of her family home and move to the South to live with her boyfriend, Dickbag Smith. He is still unemployed. She didn't talk to her family most of the time. She was cutting off contact with them and becoming secluded. As we know, with abuse, this is very common for the abuser to, you know, isolate the victim, take them away from their friends, from their family, not let them see people they love. So they are totally reliant on this person. So her mother, Margaret, is very worried and wanted to go to the police. But at this point, Kelly was too old for the police to do anything and she wouldn't listen. So Margaret was running out of ideas of what to do. Kelly and Dickbag actually break up for a while. But then Dickbag Smith stalks Kelly because he's a stand-up freaking gentleman. He's just the worst. Like, there are no redeeming qualities about this creepy ass freaking man. So he stalks her until they get back together again, because what says love like stalking you? You know what I mean? This is why when you're a teenager, you can't be in a relationship with adults, because you don't know the boundaries that you should be very firm on holding. In stalking and controlling and cutting off from family. Not okay, girl. Definitely not okay. And if you're going through that, reach out. You can reach out to me and I can point you in the correct direction. I have a Twitter. It is @r0se420. We also have an Instagram. And that's @weedwineandtrue. You could also just look up the name of the show. Please DM me if you're going through that. I will point you to the correct resources. I will do whatever I can in my power to help you out. Being abused is not okay. Ever. Just want to say that. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. You never deserve it. I just needed to say that because I feel like that's also important. So Smith invites the parents to the house, and he shows them a hole in the floorboards, and he said it was because engineers were repairing a gas leak. And her parents believe at this point, this is where he held Kelly captive after he was building something and brought up the hole in the floorboard to explain it away. But he was clearly doing something. So the parents only leave in the agreement that she keeps in regular contact and continues to visit home on a regular basis. But soon that stopped being the case. The visits became more rare, and her parents started noticing signs of abuse on her body, such as bruises on her arms, her legs, you know, anywhere that was visible, they could see bruises. She made excuses about it on how she hurt herself and, you know, the usual abuse victim who won't admit what's going on. So she excused his behavior so her parents wouldn't push it further. They should have, but her parents are between a rock and a hard place, because if you also push an abuse victim too hard and they're still being controlled by somebody and convinced they love them, you could push them out of your life. I hate this guy so much. I want to go to prison, even though he's super old now, probably. And kick him just directly in the face. Just right in the face. Or the balls. Or something. He deserves a kick. A swift kick to somewhere. I would even learn how to roundhouse kick just to kick that mofo. Okay. So. Soon, Margaret, Kelly's mom, is like fed up. She's done with her not visiting. She's done with her not calling. So she wants to go to their house, Dickbag Smith and Kelly's house, together and see how she's doing. Make sure she's okay. Make sure she's doing okay. She's being taken care of. She's alive. However, when she was about to leave, one of Kelly's brothers said that his friend had just seen Kelly and that she was absolutely fine. So Margaret is so happy to learn this news that she doesn't ask the details like she should have. Like, where was it? What time was it? What was the circumstance he saw her? All of that. She's just so happy to hear her daughter's okay because she's been so worried. And can you blame her? She knows she's with this way older man who isn't nice to her. It's just, oh, my heart breaks for this mother. So Kelly stopped seeing all of her relatives because she has signs of abuse all over her body. She has bruises. She, just all the signs of abuse. She even avoids them at holidays. Okay. So on March 10th, Margaret, Kelly's mother, called Kelly to tell her that she had missed a dentist appointment. Kelly promised she would come visit and that the next Sunday was Mother's Day and that she loved her and she was sorry for not seeing her and she would love to see her on Mother's Day, but she never made it to that visit. Margaret instead receives a card from Kelly, but it's not written in a handwriting she recognizes, and it's definitely not Kelly's to her. And, like, mom's no handwriting. My sister and my mother have, like, the same exact handwriting, and it's beautiful. And then I have weird handwriting, and then my dad's is, like, a doctor's where you could barely read it. But, like, I know their handwriting. I know my husband's handwriting. You know people you love, what their penmanship looks like. You've seen, you know, notes from them before. So a mother knows. A mother's intuition is a real thing, people. So is all intuition. Always listen to your gut. It will never steer you wrong. I know that has nothing to do with what we're talking about right now, but it popped into my head. All right, back to the story. When Kelly's father's birthday came and her parents' wedding anniversary, they once again got letters, but they were in a handwriting they did not recognize. And the handwriting was similar in the letters, but it wasn't Kelly's. At this point, they knew something was wrong. But unfortunately, by the time they intervened, Kelly will have passed away. So, in the weeks leading up to Kelly's horrific death, Dickbag Smith tortures her for 4 weeks, and she dies in the 4th week. And her family is just waiting by the phone for her to call. They don't know that she is being slowly tortured by Dickbag Smith. Also, his name is James Patterson Smith. Not to be confused with the author, in case you look into this by yourself. I love James Patterson. This dude doesn't deserve that name. I vote we legally change it, even against his will, to Dickbag Smith. So, we talked about his pattern of abuse and how it kind of escalated with his first wife. And then she left him after 10 years. And then it more quickly escalated with his next girlfriend who he had children with. And she left him after 2. And then the next girlfriend he had, it was 15. And it escalated more. And she left him quickly. And then he found Kelly and was no more loving to her. He actually escalated even higher to a sadistic level of abuse, I would say. To hold somebody captive for a month and torture them, I would say, is somebody who is a sadist. I personally don't know if he got sexual gratification from it or not, but he's a sadist. Whether it's sexual or not, I don't know, but he definitely got off or enjoyed torturing this girl so much that he did it to every significant other and then did it to this poor girl for 4 weeks. 4 weeks, this badass girl was strong enough before he killed her. Ugh. See, Dickbag Smith isn't strong enough, but just fuck him. That's all I'm going to say. Sorry, Mom. I know you hate when I swear. You're probably not listening, but in case you just randomly decide to tune in, I'm sorry. But when you hear what he did, my F-bomb will be completely excused. So, Dickbag Smith, on April 16th, 1996, goes to the Groton police station to say, "Hey, me and my girlfriend, we had this huge fight. We were in the bathtub. I inadvertently drowned her. She started inhaling water, and she drowned." So that's clearly not what really happened, because I wouldn't be doing a podcast on it. So he says he tries to resuscitate her, and that she also often pretended to be unconscious. I don't mean to laugh, because this guy is such a douche and what he does to her is so bad, but like, who consistently pretends to be unconscious? Who is just like, yep, regularly I pretend to pass out. It's so funny. I'm hilarious. Or like at a party, they're like, oh, I just passed out again. Wasn't that so funny? Like, what? Who pretends to be unconscious often? Weird excuse, but whatever. I didn't say Dickbag Smith was smart. I just said he was a manipulative douche, but never confuse the two with being smart. Being manipulative doesn't mean you're smart necessarily. So the police go to the house and find Kelly Bates naked, and she's in the bedroom. So I don't know if he moved her from the bathtub to try and resuscitate her. I'm putting that in quotes, even though you can't see me in the bed. But wouldn't she be in the bathtub if she accidentally, once again in quotes, you can't see, drown? You know what I'm like? Okay. So they do a post-mortem examination, and her blood is found everywhere throughout the house. And it is revealed she has over 150 separate injuries on her body. 150. This poor teenage girl. My heart breaks for her. She had to endure so much. Nobody deserves that. Nobody ever deserves to have that kind of death. And she got taken advantage of. She was young, 14 when they met. He groomed her and then killed her. And in the most disgusting way possible. So for the 4 weeks she was alive, she had been kept bound and sometimes tied by her hair to a radiator or furniture. Or he would tie a rope around her neck and tie like a dog and tie it around the radiator. So kind of like a dog, but without the collar. It's just the rope around her neck. So she couldn't go anywhere. She couldn't move. She couldn't get help. She couldn't do anything. So William Lawler is the pathologist who examines her body. And he says, quote, "In my career, I've examined almost 600 victims of homicide, but I have never come across injuries so extensive," unquote. So I'm going to go over some of the injuries that Kelly received. If this is too much for you, fast forward a little bit. I'm not going to go into great detail, but I think it is important to recognize the immense torture she went through. So start fast forwarding now. So she had scalding to her buttocks and left leg from somebody throwing boiling water on her. So he threw boiling water on her buttocks and left leg, took a hot iron and burned her thigh and held it there. She had a fractured arm. multiple stab wounds caused by knives, forks, and scissors. So he not only stabbed her, but stabbed her at different times with different utensils to affect her differently. That's just how fucked up douchebag, dickbag, fuckface Smith was. Sorry again, Mom. She had stab wounds inside of her mouth. He stabbed her inside her mouth. Do you know how bad that had to hurt? Also, how messed up that is? When you hear about stab wounds, how often do you hear about them inside of the mouth? That is just to harm somebody. See, he's a sadist. He's disgusting. Yes, I just threw up a little bit. Did you like that fake gag sound? I promise I won't do that anymore. Both of her hands were crushed in certain areas and all the bones were broken. She had mutilation of many parts of her body, including her genitalia, her lips, her mouth, her eyebrows, her nose, and her ears. She had wounds caused by a spade that's like the metal shovel, like they use in holes, in case you were wondering, and pruning shears. So he used gardening equipment to then torture her. Both of her eyes were gouged out for at least 3 weeks before she died. So he took both of her eyes out 3 weeks before she died. So she had to live blind in fear of this man in severe pain. My heart is just broken. He later stabbed the empty eye sockets and they found stab wounds in her eye sockets. And he performed a partial scalping. If you don't know what that is, it's when someone cuts away the skin from your scalp. So, I mean, that list is so insane. What kind of demented, sick, weirdo does this? You know, like, I study psychology, and it is amazing to me what people's minds can do to them. They're so powerful. Like, He did this and felt nothing for her to the point where he could continue to do it for 4 freaking weeks. Ugh, Dickbag Smith. I hope they're treating you as a girlfriend in jail now, you freaking sick biatch. So, she had been starved also. He wasn't feeding her, obviously. Usually people don't feed prisoners. But she lost around 35 pounds in weight. And she had not received water for several days before she passed. The prosecutor in the trial says, quote, "It was as if he deliberately disfigured her, causing her the utmost pain, distress, and degradation. The injuries were not the result of one sudden eruption of violence. They must have been caused over a long period and were so extensive and so terrible that the defendant must have deliberately and systematically tortured the girl," end quote. Which is what I said. Like, it is just so terrible. And he did things like stabbing in the mouth or gouging out her eyes or, you know, things that would inflict the most physical, emotional pain possible on this poor girl. And he had to stop and come back and do it every day for 4 freaking weeks. It's mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing to me. Her cause of death was drowning, but immediately prior to her drowning, there was evidence that she had been beaten in the head with the shower head of the bathtub she eventually drowns in. So basically, Dickbag Smith made her completely immobile and turn the water on and drown her. So, if you want to hate Dickbag Smith a little more, after he gets arrested, he obviously gets arrested after that. The cops know she didn't drown. Like, you don't lose your eyeballs from accidentally drowning. So, or get any of that. This guy is so fucking, I just want to punch him. So anyways, back to the trial. I know I'm being real upbeat, but sorry, this pisses me off. She was so young, and this guy just ruined her life so early. He groomed her and then killed her. So anyways, Dickbag Smith, of course, takes no responsibility at the trial and claims Kelly would put me through hell, winding me up, unquote. Fuck you, dude. Just seriously. She was 14 when you met, and you were, 47, and you couldn't walk away if she was winding you up. Like, F you. Get out of here, bro. Nobody wants to deal with you. You're the worst kind of human. Bye-bye. He also claimed that Kelly would taunt him about his dead mom and, quote, had a bad habit of hurting herself to make it look worse on me, end quote. Oh, really, bro? Did she rip her own freaking eyeballs out? Did she stab herself in the mouth while she was pretending to be unconscious constantly? No. You ruined this little girl. Don't you dare blame her. I hate this guy so much. He's one of my most hated. And I have a lot of hated because our list isn't filled with good people. But damn, this guy sucks. So he turns the blame on her. I mean, I'm freaking out about it, but that's normal for abusers, especially people with narcissistic personality disorder. He thinks it's her fault that he did these terrible things to her. I'm guessing. What a puke. A puke. I hate him. Somebody made fun of me on Reddit for calling somebody a puke. They were like, what are you, 5? I was like, a puke is just the perfect way to describe some people. There is no other better word than saying, ugh, they're such a puke. You know exactly what kind of person they are after somebody conveys that. I love Reddit, but people are so freaking angry on there for no reason. They get mad about anything you say, but I love Reddit. Shout out to Reddit. Love you guys. So they obviously ask him to explain himself why he blinded, stabbed, and beat Kelly. And This is the most unbelievable self-defense ever. He said she dared him to do it. To gouge her eyes out. To stab her in the mouth. To burn her with multiple different things. Like, what the hell? Beat her with the shower head. Yes, I'm sure she dared you in between passing out. What a freaking loser. Oh my God, I can't. I just can't with this man. Like, I really hope that he is somebody's girlfriend in jail and miserable and hates his life because he deserves it. So they bring on a psychiatrist because clearly Dickbag Smith is freaking off his rocker, totally out of his mind, nutso crazy boy pants. So they bring in Jillian Mezzi. I think I'm saying that right. I'll spell it. It's M-E-Z-E-Y, Mezzi. And she told the court that Dickbag, quote, had a severe paranoid disorder with morbid jealousy, and lived in a distorted reality, end quote. no shit to the distorted reality part, right? Like, no freaking shit, bro. She dared you? She dared you? What? I mean, I don't even think Florida criminals are that dumb to say somebody dared them. And we all know Florida criminals are insane and, like, drive tractors into alligators and shoot them with machine guns or something. You know, it's always something crazy. Like, they ride an alligator into the convenience store to rob it or something weird like that. And not even Florida people would do that. That's all I want to say about that. The jury only took 1 hour to find 40-year-old Dickbag Smith, James Dickbag Patterson Smith, guilty of Kelly Bates's murder. Kelly Ann Bates, rest in peace. This is terrible. I'm sorry you had to go through that. He had got life in prison, and it was recommended he serve a minimum term of 20 years. The justice stated, "This has been a terrible case, a catalog of depravity by one human being upon another. You are a highly dangerous person. You're an abuser of women, and I intend, so far as it is in my power, that you will abuse no more." After the trial was over, the jury actually had to be provided with professional counseling because of the distress of the details and seeing the photos of Kelly's injuries and having to endure the true violence of the case and, you know, listen to everything for days and weeks on end before they could make a decision and have to live in this terribly bleak place where this poor teenage girl was murdered. And not only murdered, but completely tortured and murdered. Once again, if you're in an abusive relationship, you have a friend that's in an abusive relationship, there are hotlines for that. You can message me. I will send you every single resource I have. You could go online and talk to people, but figure it out, because not everybody is lucky like his first three partners who made it out alive. People end up being Kelly Bates and having a tragic story when they deserved the best life. And these men just, or women can be abusive and abuse people to death too, are just, they have no souls. I don't know what to say. Like, it's sick to me. And, you know, being a sadist, there's a lot of serial killers who are sadists. This has to be one of the worst cases I've ever read for injuries to a person, a single person, period of time-wise, and the extent of the injuries. You know, serial killers, they are sadists. Some do keep people and torture them, but they're also worried about getting caught, so they tend not to keep them for months on end. Some do, but, you know, there's always exceptions to the rule. But this poor girl spent a month being tortured and eventually killed by somebody she thought loved her and that she thought she loved. So at the end of the day, just want to say you're worth it. Get out of that relationship. Leave your Dickbag Smith behind. And ladies, let's all use our witchy powers and make it so the Dickbag Smiths can't meet women anymore. We'll sync up one day and do it. I love you guys. If you enjoyed this, as always, please give us a like, a follow, recommend us to a friend. And please, if you enjoyed it, please, please, please go and review us. It helps our podcast pop up more. And I love you guys, and I will see you next time.